Is there a harmless pedagogy? Alice is now asking in a section called Gentle Violence. Quote, overt abuse is not the only way to stifle a child's vitality. I shall illustrate this by the example of a family whose history I was able to trace over several generations. A young 19th century missionary and his wife went to Africa to convert people to Christianity. Through this work, this man was able to free himself of the tormenting religious doubts of his youth. Was able to free himself of the tormenting religious doubts of his youth. At last, he became a true Christian who, like his father before him, gave his all to transmitting his faith to others, i.e., he became the perfect missionary. That was my comment. The couple had 10 children, 8 of whom were sent to Europe as soon as they were old enough to go to school. One of the children was the future father of A. And he always told his only son how lucky he, the son, was to grow up at home with his family. He himself, after being sent away to school as a little son, excuse me, as a little boy, had not seen his parents again until he was 30 years old. With trepidation, he had waited at the train station for the parents he could not remember. And sure enough, when they arrived, he had not recognized them. He often told this anecdote, not with any sign of sadness, but with amusement. A described his father as good, as kind, good-natured, understanding, appreciative, contented, and genuinely devout. All his family and friends also admired these qualities in him, and there was no ready explanation for why his son, having such a kind-hearted father, should develop a severe obsessional neurosis. Since childhood, A had been burdened with disturbing, obsessive thoughts of an aggressive nature, but he was unable to experience feelings of annoyance or dissatisfaction, to say nothing of anger or rage in response to actual frustrations. But he was unable to experience feelings of annoyance or dissatisfaction, to say nothing of anger or rage in response to actual frustrations. He also had suffered since childhood because he had not inherited, quote unquote, his father's, quote, serene, natural, trusting, unquote, piety. He attempted to attain it by reading devotional literature, but bad, quote unquote, because critical thoughts, which filled him with panic, always stood in the way. It took a long time in analysis before A was able to express criticism without clothing it in alarming fantasies he then had to struggle to keep at bay. When his son joined a Marxist group at school, this came to his aid. It was easy for A to locate contradictions, limitations, and intolerance in his son's ideology, and this subsequently enabled him to subject psychoanalysis to critical scrutiny as well, and define it as the religion of his analyst. During the stages of transference, he became increasingly aware of the tragedy of his relationship with his father. Examples of his disappointment with various ideologies multiplied, and he realized more and more how these ideologies served as defense mechanisms for their adherents. Intense feelings of indignation at all possible forms of mystification came to the surface. The newly awakened anger of the deceived child finally led him to be suspicious of all religious and political ideologies. His obsessions diminished, but they did not disappear entirely until these feelings could be experienced in connection with the long-dead and internalized father of his childhood. In his analysis, A was now able to acknowledge the helpless rage he felt at the terrible constrictions that had been imposed on him by his father's attitude. He was expected to be, like his father, good-natured, kind, appreciative, undemanding, not to cry, always to see everything from the positive side, never to be critical, never to be dissatisfied, always to think of those who were much worse off. A's previously unrecognized feelings of rebelliousness reveal to him the narrow confines of his childhood, from which everything had to be banished that was not suitable for his devout and sunny nursery. And only after he had been allowed to articulate his own revolt, which he had had to split off and project onto his son so that he could oppose it there, was the father's other side revealed to him. He had found it in his own rage and mourning. No one else could have convinced him of it, because his father's unstable side had found a home only in the psyche of the son, in his obsessional neurosis, where it had taken root in a remorseless way, crippling this son for 42 years. By means of his illness, the son had helped preserve his father's piety.